Here is our final Lenten Passion History lesson from Luke chapter 23. Takes us all the way to the cross, beyond the cross, to the tomb. We read, "As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?' Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was a written notice above him which read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.' It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, 'Surely this was a righteous man.' When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment." So as you know, over the course of these midweek Lent services, we've been pondering together wounds. Wounds that have inflicted or were inflicted upon the sacred head of our Savior, like wounds of betrayal and apathy and denial and mockery. And I hope it hasn't just been a history lesson. I think what it's been is a mirror, and we see ourselves in these wounds, or we see our lives in Judas who betrayed, and those sleepy three disciples who were apathetic, and Peter who denied, and the soldiers who mocked. I mean, we felt the burden of those sins. And praise God, by the Spirit's power, everybody in here has come to know and believe what Isaiah wrote about all of this 700 years before it happened. By his wounds, we are healed. But of all the wounds that Jesus received, none so struck him, so terrorized him, none so weighed on him than the one that we ponder tonight. And yet, it's not a wound we inflicted on him. This came from his Father. It is the wound of abandonment. And I'd like to read it for you, a few verses from Matthew chapter 27. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." No, he wasn't calling Elijah. In the depth, the unspeakable depth of his agony on the cross, our Lord was crying out to God. In the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And you heard in the Passion reading tonight how earlier on the cross and later on the cross, Jesus calls out to his Father. Not here. These are not the words of a son making a request of his dear Father. This is our substitute, the one who was in our place, suspended between the holiness of God and our unholiness. And there he was, taking it, absorbing it, becoming sin for us, experiencing what our sins really are, being completely cut off from God, forsaken, abandoned, alone. Is this not the bitterest dreg, right, of that cup of suffering that Jesus prayed in the garden about, the cup of suffering that he knew he would drink down? This is the worst part of it. For in this moment, he experiences in his perfect soul what every sin ever committed in the history of the world really demands of God. Go away from me, God. Leave me alone. Leave me to myself. And if the Holy God answers that request with a yes, that's hell. And it is an unimaginable loneliness. It's being totally removed from God. Think of how this must have hit Jesus, who before the ages began, the Bible says, was in the Father's presence as his Son. And then what we celebrate at Christmas, that God, the Son of God, took on flesh, our flesh. Even then, the Bible says, in a way that we can't even comprehend, he never left the presence of his Father. And then he lived among us. The way that we should live, loving the presence of his Heavenly Father, being guided by him. What I'm saying is, nobody loved being with the Father more than Jesus. And then, at that moment, it was all gone. He was alone, utterly alone, the presence of God withdrawn. My God, why have you forsaken me? I was talking to a brother in preparation for this message tonight, another pastor, and I told him I'd be speaking on those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he said, I don't know if anybody can understand that. But we can listen. We can hear it. And we can ponder this, and this is what I want you to ponder. Jesus loves you so much that he chose to enter that loneliness himself and to endure it himself in your place so that you might be set free from it forever, which means you will never, ever be alone. Now, I know that everybody in here has been lonely at one time or another, and some of us in here have experienced abandonment. Being abandoned by someone we loved, and we thought they loved us. And when that happens, Christian friends and family are there for each other. At least we try to be, to lend a listening ear, to share tears. But here's the thing. Even the best Christian friend or family member cannot be there to take away all of our loneliness. For that, we need Jesus. He experienced separation from God so that we would never have to, and that means that we're never alone. It means when there is no one else there for us, he is there for us. When no one can help us, he can help us. It's what he means when he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, I am always with you. And it's why we can pray with confidence these words from that old Lenten hymn, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. Listen to this. My Savior, then be near me when death is at my door. And let your presence cheer me, forsake me nevermore. When soul and body languish, oh, leave me not alone, but take away my anguish by virtue of your own. So do you see it, my friend? Because Jesus Christ suffered the wound of abandonment, you will never have to face anything in life, and even death itself, alone. He made sure of it. He will be with you. He will walk with you every step of the way. And if you ask me, that means that hell itself is undone. And sins are forgiven and death is destroyed. That's how he's with us. Think of one of the most prevalent names in Scripture for Jesus. He's our shepherd. And as a shepherd, he's with us. He attends to us. He is even with us in that place. Think of Psalm 23. He's even with us as a shepherd, yes, present with us, not alone, in that place where no one else can go with us, in the valley of the shadow of death. You're not alone even then. He's with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. He will, as only he can do, bring you from that darkest of valleys to the bright, bright light of an eternal day with your Heavenly Father. So here it is. He was forsaken that we would be forgiven. Greater love has no man than this. And that's how much he loves you. And that means you are never alone. Amen.
This podcast is a production of St. Marcus Ministries. For similar content, subscribe to our St. Marcus Church YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook. If you're seeking ways to grow, serve, or give, download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church. There, you can submit private prayer requests, receive weekly news updates, and more. If you enjoy these messages, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thank you for listening, and God bless.